Our Hanukkah teaching. Last week, for those of you that weren't here or missed it one way or another, we did a pretty lengthy review and foundation of Hanukkah and why it is a thing, and the history of Alexander the Great conquering and actually being really good to the people of Israel. And then Alexander dies all of a sudden, and his kingdom is split into four different pieces for his four different generals, one being Antiochus, and eventually Antiochus the Fourth, Antiochus's grandson, takes over, and he was not kind to Israel. He did everything that he could to sterilize Israel, beginning with Jerusalem and then out to the rest of Israel, to sterilize it of the Torah, of the covenant, and doing things like setting up altars in all of the towns and having officials go out and watch the Jewish people, witness them sacrifice pigs. He taxed them horrifically, and you know, it was much like what we see in first century, second century Rome, and Constantine. Anyone found keeping the Sabbath was put to death, etc., etc. Antiochus sets up shop in the temple, sacrifices a pig on the altar, which is from Daniel, that is an abomination of desolation. It's an abomination that makes the temple desolate. Is it the abomination of desolation? Yes. Is it the only abomination of desolation? No. There can be more abominations of desolation as we go through. There was an abomination of desolation when the temple was destroyed in 70. There will be another one at the end of the age before the Messianic kingdom is set up. Okay? So Daniel is not only speaking to this, he's not only speaking to what we see in Revelation, he's speaking to all of those. Okay? Multiple layers to prophecy. Mattathias Hasmonae is a priest in Israel in this time. Lives in the town of what? Where? Modi'in. Lives in Modi'in, where Hanok, our good friend Hanok, lives today. Lives in the town of Modi'in. Witnesses a Jewish man going to sacrifice a pig with a Greek witness. Kills them both. Takes his sons, runs to the hills. Peace, we out. Well, not peace. We out. Slay you, sucker, out. And then gone. They go to the hills and they formulate this plan. They gather allegiance from farmers and not a professional army. They begin to come back and take over and gather and restore the land of Egypt, land of Israel, excuse me. They come back into the temple. It's grown up. Everything has been stolen out of it. Everything's been stolen by Antiochus and melted. All the gold, all the menorah even, everything is. So they come back and they restore the temple. They tear down the old altar and put the stones somewhere later. And they say in Maccabees, let us put the stones away and wait for a prophet to tell us how to handle it. I think that's an awesome statement. They didn't just go, well, like, we're smart guys, let's figure it out. This is an important thing. It's the altar. Let's wait for a prophet to tell us how to handle it. They rebuild the altar and they dedicate it. And they rededicate the altar and the temple for how long? 8 days. Okay. So, why 8 days? We talked about this a little bit towards the end, but in case you'd fallen asleep by that time, Josephus tells us, as well as the book of Maccabees illustrates the first and second Maccabees, tells us that they looked back at the dedication of the first temple, which was and the second temple, the temple that they were rededicating, And those dedications happened what time of year? Sukkot. How long is Sukkot? 8 days. When is the rededication happening? What time of year? Kislev, which is 25 Kislev, which is 3 years to the date that it had been made desolate. It's in the winter. Sukkot has already passed. They just missed it. They were not willing to wait a whole year. They would miss Pesach. They would miss Shavuot. They would miss Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So in the dead of winter, in Kislev, 25 Kislev, they began an 8-day rededication of the temple, because that's the way the temple had been dedicated by David HaMelech and King Shlomo. So that's where the 8 days comes from. Okay? So Hanukkah is... I've heard the statement, oh, it's like the Jewish 4th of July. Hanukkah is the fight... Let me back up. There's... Ishmael and Isaac. Israel and Egypt. Israel and Greece. Israel and Babylon. Israel and Rome. Let's go to the book of Revelation. We see Babylon, the beast, etc. again, and we see Israel. The entirety of the story from Genesis to Maps is the battle of two kingdoms. Two kingdoms. Two sets of laws. Two ways of doing life. Two ways of honoring that which is worthy to be honored. There is always the Malchut Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, and there is the other kingdom. What is that other kingdom? It's the devil's kingdom. Well, fine, we can say that. My point is that it looks differently throughout history, but it's all the same. Revelation, the book of Revelation, with all of its complex signs and wonders and terminology and all the things that happen in this vision that Yochanan has, the really, really bottom line of Revelation is speaking to Israel about Messiah. And it's a book to give us hope that if we stay loyal to the Malchut Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem, our job is to stay loyal to His kingdom against the empire. What is the empire? It was Egypt. It was Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, America. Stop. Don't get your feelings hurt. I'm not saying America's bad. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about our allegiance. Our allegiance. It's not going to always be where we live. It's America for us in that, is it state worship over kingdom worship? I'm not saying you can't be patriotic. Be patriotic. Baruch Hashem for our soldiers that keep us safe, that protect us. Please understand. I'll be the first one to stand for the flag. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if it comes ever between the state and the kingdom of God, our allegiance has to be with Malchut Hashem. Period. That's because this is where we live. If we lived in Venezuela or in Italy or in Australia or China or wherever else, it's the same, the whole fight. So when we look at Hanukkah, please realize that it's not just the Jewish for it is. And Baruch Hashem for the Hasmoneans. Judas and Mattathias, his son, Hasmonei, the Hasmoneans. Because they saw this fight between the two kingdoms, these two forces that wrestled against each other, and their allegiance was to the kingdom of God and His Torah, His constitution. If we find ourselves being more allied with the Constitution of the United States than the Constitution of the Torah, we have our worship misdirected. So Hanukkah is not just the Jewish story of independence from the Greeks. It is as the children of God, it is our story, and it is an inspiration to us that in DeRidder, Louisiana, of all places, with the most churches per capita of any city in the nation, it should inspire us to stay in allegiance to the commandments of God. For he who loves me keeps my commandments. So today we're going to talk about kind of the traditions of Hanukkah. Yes, I know the T word is a curse word. Forgive me. I'm going to say it many times today. So tradition. We're going to talk about the traditions and customs, where they came from, and then kind of some ideas on how we celebrate Hanukkah today. So first and foremost, I said at the end of last week's service, I don't think we were streaming at that point though. First and foremost, massive disclaimer. If I had money, I'd make a banner to hang outside that says Hanukkah is not the Jewish Christmas. Okay? We talked last week about Hanukkah. Josephus in the first century said that they called Hanukkah not dedication, but what? Lights. So there's a big, about, well, we're not celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating Hanukkah. Can we still put up lights? We had lights before Christmas had lights. Let's take the lights back. Our celebration is one of light. Because why? Because the great light was rekindled in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple. Because the Torah was restored. And Psalm 119 tells us that the Torah is light. It's all about light. John 10 calls it dedication. It's fine. No trees. As a matter of fact, and I don't want to get off into this. I haven't ranted against Christmas in several years. And this is not a rant against Christmas. The whole Jeremiah thing with the tree in the house and the blah, 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 doesn't have anything to do with Christmas per se. Just, but there is Torah commandment that there are to be no trees planted near the altar of Hashem. No trees planted near the altar. So that tells you where trees fall as far as in worship in God's eyes. So, okay. So anyway, so what we have is in America, Hanukkah looks a lot like Christmas, when actually there are a lot of things in Hanukkah that most things predated Christmas by several hundred years. And we also have some evolution in how Hanukkah has been celebrated over the last really only about 60 years. Okay, so let's kind of talk through some of these things. So 8 days, we talked about why 8 days, right? We talked about the dedication of the temple. There's another reason why 8 days that is, in my opinion, secondary to the dedication, because that's what Hanukkah is all about. We'll talk about that in a little while. Okay, so let's talk about, I'm not sure what order these are in. There, I forgot, but so when you think Hanukkah, what's the first thing you think? Huh? Dreidel, Hanukkah. All right, let's talk about the Hanukkah first. All right. This is a what? Menorah. This is a Hanukkah. Okay? Now, people absolutely blow a freaking gasket over the Hanukkah. Because the Jews changed the menorah. It's supposed to have seven candlesticks, not nine. The rabbis changed it. Hold, pump the brakes, Skippy. Do some history and learn some things before you have diarrhea of the mouth and make yourself look like an idiot. And I'm sorry for being so direct with that, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the foolishness. Read something. Ask someone. Is the camera pointing at me? Ask someone. Do some research. If you haven't celebrated a festival ever in your life, a feast, a tradition ever in your life, and this is the first time you're celebrating it, like Passover or Shavuot or Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah or Hanukkah or Purim, if you've never done it before, what about asking somebody that's been doing it for generations instead of making stuff up? All over Israel, you see Hanukkah. You also see menorah, but you see many more Hanukkah. The reason is not because the Jews believe that this is they changing the menorah on purpose. They've lived with this as the symbol of their people for thousands of years. Okay? The reason is a menorah is kadosh. It has one purpose. What is that purpose? To light the what? Oh, to light your window seal? No. To light the temple. That is its purpose. We're told in the Torah, when you make the anointing oil for the temple, do not make that recipe and use it for anything else. It is kadosh. The menorah should not be lit unless it is in the great lampstand in the temple. It is, every Jewish family has one in their home as a sign of remembrance and as a reminder of the temple. But as for lighting it, you're taking something sacred and making it common. Does that make sense? That's the idea behind it. No Jewish person or no biblical-minded person that has any wherewithal believes that this Hanukkah is replacing the menorah. No, nobody believes that because it's not. So are we clear on that? Okay. The Hanukkah has nine candlesticks or nine candle holders. There are eight, which are for the 8 days of Hanukkah. And then there is one that is either, you'll see them configured different ways. Some Hanukkah have it set up like this. Some Hanukkah have it set off to the side, separate from others. This is called the Shamash. The Shamash candle. Shamash is what? Servant. It's the servant candle. Okay? So the way that there is a way that the Hanukkah is lit, because, you know, there's a way you do everything, right? And I think I have the picture of that. Yeah, okay. So it is lit. You're looking at it. It is lit from right to left. Huh? Just like you read Hebrew. Okay? It's from right. It reminds us of the words of Torah, which are read from right to left in Hebrew. Okay? You have the first day, you have the Shamash, and you have candle number one. You light the Shamash first, and you use the Shamash candle to light the other candles. The servant candle gives light to the other candles. Whoo, I'll preach. You let that one burn down. The next night, you put two candles in, one, two, from right to left again, and the lighting begins on the outside. Okay? You light all the way up through eight. Now, there are a lot of lessons in the light of the lights of the menorah. One beautiful one that I love is that every night the light increases. Throughout the week of Hanukkah, the light increases. May it be in our lives that as we dedicate Hanukkah, as we dedicate ourselves through the week of Hanukkah and through every day, that our light would increase. But also that one light is not enough. I want more light. Two lights is not enough. I want more light. Three lights is not. I want more. It's our appetite and our insatiable desire for more of His light to be in our lives. Hanukkah menorah. This is not replacing. We talk about another reason why Hanukkah. Look, I'm even going to put the menorah in front. Does that make everybody feel better? I know I'm being really snarky today. I'm sorry. Another reason of why the 8 days is tradition says that when the Maccabees, and by the way, if you weren't here, let me just clear this up. Mattathias and Judah, Mattathias is the dad, Judah is the son, and he had other sons. Hasmonai, that's their last name, or surname, Hasmonai. They were termed Maccabi, and there are two main kind of understandings of the word Maccabi. One is that in Hebrew, the Hebrew word Maccav is hammer, and that's what they did. They hammered them. And the other one is that Maccabi is an acrostic, and the acrostic stands for... I want to make sure I get it right. Mikamoka by Elim Adonai, which comes from Exodus 15, and it means, who is like you, O Lord, among the nations? So those are the two. So it's not, Maccabee wasn't their last name. Hasmonai, and we know that Judah and those after him, that entered the Hasmonean dynasty of kings, of Judean kings. Okay? Just make sure you clear that up. That Judah Maccabee wasn't his last name, okay? Judah the Maccabee. When they came into the temple, they say, tradition says, Josephus says, I believe it is Josephus, says that the menorah, remember Greece, Antiochus had taken the menorah and melted it, gold? The menorah that they rebuilt until they could get other more intelligent people to tell them how it all had to be done, they rebuilt a menorah, and tradition says that that menorah was built out of spear shafts. So they took their weapons of war and made a menorah and lit that. As the tradition goes, is that they searched for the oil to light the menorah, and it's not just any oil, it has to be an oil that's specially prepared. They only found one jar of the oil, which was only enough for 1 day's worth of light. Because the menorah, if you've been to Israel, you've seen them, it's massive. I mean, the cups on it are humongous. Let me also say this. There are oil menorahs, okay, which this is my opinion. Now, I know I'm going to do the pastoral thing. And I'm going to back off a little bit. I know there are people that light menorahs, okay? If you want to light a menorah, I'm not going to tell you anything. You know, it's not going to be an issue. Those things are my opinion. I believe to be right. But you can be wrong if you want to. It's fine. Snarky. Why am I so snarky? All right. You don't light an oil Hanukkah because an oil light is reserved for the temple. That's the way it's done in the temple. Because remember, one thing that we don't have is we don't really have a good understanding of the set apartness of the temple and all of the services and the things that have to go on in the temple, right? I mean, we don't really have a concept of that. But if it's done in the temple, you don't replicate it outside of the temple. That's making that thing common. and it's not to be done, okay? So the tradition says that this one jar of oil, they sent people off to make more oil, but that takes several days. And the tradition says that this one jar of oil lasted all 8 nights of Hanukkah. Okay? A miracle? Maybe. Don't know. It's tradition. Okay? All right. So that's the Hanukkah and menorah. Does anybody have any questions about that? Everybody pretty clear? Pretty clear on it? Okay. If I offended you, sorry, not sorry. All right. Next, I heard dreidel. Okay? Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Made it out of clay. All right. Dreidel. Now, you won't find dreidel in the Maccabees or in the Bible at all, anywhere. The dreidel and the dreidel game, from most of the history I've done over the last several years, the dreidel became a part of the Hanukkah tradition because in Greece, before or as Antiochus was filleting the land of the Torah was illegal, but there's one thing that was legal, and that was gambling. Now stay with me. So it was illegal to study Torah, but it was legal to gamble. So the Jews in Israel under Antiochus would study Torah, would talk about Torah, because you know what? That's a commandment. Deuteronomy 6, part of the Vihafta, Shema and Vihafta. You are to continually, the Torah is continually be on your lips. So to fulfill the mitzvah of talking about Torah, they would hide in alleyways and wherever, and they would spin tops and they would gamble as a way of covering their talking about Torah. And so that's how the dreidel, it's a remembrance of that. It's a remembrance of what we're doing in a sense, not under the compulsion of violence. We're not yet, but we do things to communicate our love for the things of God that other people don't know about and wouldn't understand. And so the dreidel became a part of Hanukkah as a remembrance of, even if you're under oppression, you fulfill the commandment to have the words of God on your lips at all times. Modern dreidel, and many of you have them, you can buy them very, very cheaply. Oh, there's a little bitty one right here. Yeah, this is Levi's. He forgot it. So this is what most of them, you know, they're small and wooden, plastic. I've seen metal ones that are super fine. Anyway, all dreidels will have 4 Hebrew letters on them. And those letters are Nun, Gimel, He, Shin. Okay? And that stands for, I think I have it in another slot. Yeah, I'm sorry, this is not really clear. Those 4 letters, this is the transliterated phrase. Nes Gadol Hayasham, which means what? Something great or a great miracle happened there. In America, our dreidels have Nun Gimel He Shin, a great miracle happened there. Where? Israel. In Israel, their dreidels have a great miracle, have the 4 letters that say a great miracle happened here. Okay? So just difference of where we are. Now, the dreidel game is played with gelt. If you don't know what gelt is, we all should know what gelt is. If you've ever celebrated Mardi Gras and gotten doubloons, okay? Not the same, but same. But gelt is chocolate candy. We'll get back to that in a second. So when you're playing the dreidel game, It's anybody ever played Bure? No, none of y'all have ever played Bure or poker. Yeah, I never played poker. Y'all are saintly. But the idea of gelt today, it is wrapped chocolate coins wrapped in gold or whatever. That's a fairly recent or newer way of a newer type of gelt. Gelt is used to be that, and it still is in many places, but every night of Hanukkah, you go to some family member's house or someone in your mishpachah, in your congregation, you go to their house for Hanukkah. That's the way that things are done in Judaism when they celebrate the feast. All the feasts are done that way. And the adults give the children money, change, coins, okay? And those coins are played, you play the dreidel game with coins. But here's the kicker. Whoever wins all the coins, they don't keep it. That is tzedakah. They give that to charity. Okay, because Hanukkah is not about getting, it's about giving. We have this incredible light. We want to give it to everyone. So in the Jewish community, Hanukkah is a season of a lot of giving, a lot of charity work. Okay, because that's being a light. That's what it is. And so in the game, if you've never played the dreidel game, go back to the last one. If you've never played the dreidel game, you spin your dreidel, and the letter that lands up, if it's the noon, nada, you don't get anything. So when you start, everybody puts in one, you go around spinning. If you spin a noon, you don't get anything, okay? If you spin a gimel, you get, okay? You get the pot, then everybody puts one back up. If you get the hay, you get half the pot. And if you get the shin, then you put one in. Okay, so that's the way it's played. You can look it up online. There's animations and all kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun, especially if you have kids, especially if you're trying to kick your poker habit or your bure habit. Pick up dreidel. It's cool. No, it's no time like the present. So that is the dreidel game. That's where the dreidel. Most probably comes from and originates from. And again, well, the dreidel's not in the Bible. No, it's not. It's not in the Bible. It's a way to remember something. And for children, it's fun. Get your child one of these, a top. Everybody goes like, oh, I used to, Adam Sandler made this stuff, Christmas kids are getting bikes and stuff, and Jewish kids are getting a stinking top, but you give your kids one of these, they'll play with it for hours. You know what, somebody a lot smarter than me the last several years made a killing off of a little thing that almost every child in America had, a fidget spinner. Get your child a Hanukkah dreidel. Teach them Neskadol Hayasham, Nun Gimel Hay Sheen, best fidget spinner you'll ever get, and way less expensive than a stupid fidget spinner. They'll play with it forever. It's awesome. All right, next. All right, what else do you think about when you think of Hanukkah? We covered a Hanukkiah, we covered dreidel. You guys are missing latkes and fried food. All right. So traditionally during Cajuns must have been Jewish at some point, because we like to fry everything. Like, this should be our jam. Like, if you don't celebrate Hanukkah because you don't, it's not in Scripture and you're one of those sola scriptura people, or if you don't celebrate Hanukkah because it's just for the Jews and you're a Christian and you don't, it's not for us or whatever, it's a week of fried food. Get over it. So it's traditional to eat fried foods this week because of the miracle of the oil, whether or not it was a miracle of the oil. And also, it also brings us back. Every time we fry something, every time we eat something fried, we should remember the lighting of the great menorah. What I do every Hanukkah is, when I eat fried foods, and we eat a lot of it during Hanukkah, is that I remember that that menorah that I saw in Israel, and you see pictures of it online, and I pray, you know, may it come soon that those cups can be filled with the oil. That I would see in my lifetime, that my children would understand and see the absolute joy of seeing the great menorah lit. I mean, wow. And so the two kind of most popular fried foods during Hanukkah are latkes, which are potato pancakes, I guess you'd say, hash brown kind of things. And go online, there's a gajillion different recipes. They're a lot of fun to cook. They're even more fun to eat. If you're on a diet, well, just whatever. But latkes. And the other is, no, it's okay. The other one, I'm going to write it down, and then I'm going to let you have fun trying to pronounce it if you don't already know. Okay, the other is jelly donuts. But in Hebrew, it's sufganiyot. Sufganiyot. It's not that hard. Sufganiyot. Sufganiyot. And they're jelly donuts. It's a week of hash browns and jelly donuts. What is there not to love about that? Miss Barb. The doctor might not look too kindly on that. But these fried foods, you know, one thing, again, like I said, you know, coming from a Cajun family, we have a lot in common with the Jewish people as in our celebrations, in that we love to eat. Every time you get, listen, as a Cajun, you go over to somebody's house, one of the first things they ask you, if you want something to eat? Like, it's just what we do when we're together. You want something? You know, take something home? Don't try to go to your mama's house without coming home with something to eat. You're going to, here, I made a cake. I'm not going to eat it all. Take it. Take the whole cake? What are you talking about? Yeah, just take it. I made it just because I felt, whatever. You're going to, and there's a traditions that developed from the Torah. Every commanded feast, every Leviticus 23 feast in the Torah is about food. You get together and eat. Even Yom Kippur is a day of fasting, but man, that 25th hour, you celebrate with a big meal. It's about food. The Chag Matzah, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Yeah, there's a prohibition against eating things yeasty, that are leavened, but even in that, it's about the food teaching us something about life. God uses food all over. We've said it over and over again. The sacrifices in the temple were all about consumption and meals and food, and that's, it teaches us about all these things. So why would Hanukkah be any different? Gift giving is something that is not done in Israel during Hanukkah, and it is something that has only been in America really since about the 50s, when young Jewish children and parents really started to kind of look at Christmas and go, well, our kids are, it's not fair to our kids. You know, there's issues there. I mean, it's tough to see all your friends coming to school, you know, and like, what did you get? I got a race car, I got a bike, I got a, you know, Xbox, I got a whatever, I got a new cell phone, I got all these things. What did you get? Nothing. You know, so it's developed in America as an American tradition to give gifts during Hanukkah. Well, let me say a couple things about that. And like we try to do most things, try to give you a way out, some wiggle room, give us a way out, and do that. I know many families that celebrate Hanukkah, they just quit Christmas like, and went straight into Hanukkah, no gifts, no, I mean, just cold turkey. And if you can do that, Baruch Hashem, do it. Because it causes less confusion with your children. Many people, though, are in a transition, And I won't be mad at you if you're still buying gifts for your... Personally, I know there are some people that, like, every time they go to Walmart, their kids get a little something, a little toy, or, you know, some, all through the year we do that. We don't do that. Our family doesn't do that. Our kids get gifts twice a year, on their birthdays and during Hanukkah. That's when our kids get gifts. They don't get toys through the year. They just recently, they're 5, 8, and 11, they just recently found out where the toy department was in Walmart. Okay, I know that's sad. I'm like, oh, poor Amon kids. No, but like, we just don't do that because we don't want that I want thing in them, you know, all the time. So we do give gifts during Hanukkah. And it's a little something every night. And believe me, like, I remember thinking, man, we're going to quit Christmas. We're going to save some money. Doesn't work that way. But it's clothes. It's things they need. You know, there may be one or two nights they get something they wanted, but it's things that they need. It's practical. And usually the way we do it, every night kind of has a theme. Heather's really good about that. It has a theme. So one night it may be learning, you know, it may be reading. It may be a subject matter. It may be crafts. It may be, you know, one night's about personal hygiene and stuff. So it's like bath stuff for the girls and, you know, and nothing for JoJo because he's a boy and who cares. But but every night has a theme. So, and in a, you know, in a way, it is good to give gifts to people. Just because I'm saying that's not a part of the old tradition, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying it's just be careful that Hanukkah doesn't become Christmas-like because it's when we get gifts. Hanukkah is not, yay, when we get gifts. Hanukkah is when we remember the dedication and what it takes to be the temple of the Lord, okay? Now, last thing I'll wrap up. Just like every festival, there are prayers and blessings that we pray, and you can find them online everywhere. Go do some research. I'm not going to provide them to you because I want you to go look. I want you to be active in finding those. Google search for Hanukkah blessings, Hanukkah prayers, you're going to come up with everything you would want and more. Hebrew for Christians, many of you know that website. It's a great site. John Parsons does a fantastic job providing a ton of information. He's done it for a long time. Hebrew, the number 4, Christians.com. And give some wonderful background information. What I love about John's site is that he provides traditional blessings and messianic blessings. So recognizing Yeshua in the blessings and the prayers. Okay. Now you would never hear those things in a Jewish home, but following Messiah, it's important to honor Yeshua and his remembrance during Hanukkah of all things. After all, in John 10, brings the whole story together when he really revealed who he was and used Hanukkah to do that. Super, super important. And something else I forgot to say last week around Yeshua. When was Yeshua born? Sukkot. When was he conceived? 9 months back, right? Pesach. Who was his forerunner? John. Okay. John would have been around the time of Hanukkah. Okay. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. Right? So Hanukkah's not in the Bible. Hanukkah's everywhere in the Bible. It starts in Daniel and goes all the way through to Revelation, basically. It's the story of the fight, your allegiance, and your loyalty. All right? So, very good. Does anybody have any questions that I can answer live or things maybe we can wait on until later? No? All right. I'm going to pray and say goodbye to those of you on live stream. Thank you guys for watching. And happy Hanukkah. And enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Father, we bless you for this time, for the things revealed in your word. Father, we Thank you for this season of Hanukkah, and may it inspire us to be even more dedicated to you. May it inspire us to be even more on fire as we take our cues from the Maccabees, to be strong, to be courageous. And that all starts, Father, with knowing you and knowing who we are. We have to believe and know and be passionate in our own selves as we stand against the pressure of the world. And I thank you, Father, for the Jewish people, our brothers and sisters that have been standing against the world's pressure for centuries. And I pray that everyone, Father, has a blessed and happy Hanukkah. And we love you and we thank you for allowing us to be together today. We bless you for the name, your name's sake, and the name of your Messiah. Amen.